This morning I step here again. I step here again and I read this definition to you. To make a sudden involuntary expulsion of air from the nose and the mouth. Yeah, what is that? A sneeze, right? And when you hear a sneeze, what is the normal comeback? Yeah, the next slide. God bless you, right? And so you have this expulsion of air, which I studied that a little bit this week, and how fast that comes out and how far it goes and so forth and so on. But really the comeback is God bless you. And so we know some of the reasons of speculation. You know what a speculation is? Not a fact. Okay? It's just a speculation. If you look up speculation, the antonym would be fact. Okay, so it's just a speculation of why we say, God bless you when you sneeze, or when I sneeze, you respond to me. And it was sneezing was one of the bubonic plague's main symptoms, and it is believed that Pope Gregory I suggested a tiny prayer in the form of saying, God bless you, after sneezing would protect the person from death. Speculation. It's not a fact. I don't know. I wasn't there. I never had the bubonic plague, you know, but that could be the roots of that. A speculation is that's why we say God bless you, because you need that, because it protects you from death. Speculation number two is when one sneezes, they may accidentally expel their own spirit from their body. I've heard people sneeze. I'm kind of wondering if this doesn't happen. When one sneezes, they might accidentally expel their own spirit from their body unless God blesses you and prevents it. So you got to be quick on it. No lagging. Because boom, and your spirit begins to leave. God bless you. You got to get it in quick. Number three, speculation. Sneezing forces evil spirits out of your body, leaving others exposed to wandering spirits, and a blessing was to protect both the sneezer and those around him or her. So, boom, you throw a demon out, and the demon is looking for a home, and I'm not underestimating demons and what they do, but this is a speculation that you sneeze out a demon, and the demon is looking for somebody. So, God bless you, can protect the guy who just sneezed him out and everyone else in the room. That's an interesting thought. Speculation number four, our heart stops when we sneeze. And that saying, bless you, in a way welcomes the sneezer back from the dead. So don't tell me God is not in the business of resurrection, right? Because every time you sneeze, you die. It's a good thing we have people that will bless us in those moments. Speculations 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't have a PhD in any one of those speculations. I'm not sure if they're true or not. I'm not sure about sneezing, and I'm not sure about plagues and demons and spirits and heartbeats. But one thing I am sure of, fact, God does bless. That is a fact. And a blessing, we see two different words used mainly in the scripture for bless, is to cause to prosper and to kneel. I find that very interesting that those two words are translated in the scripture to kneel in the Hebrew, to cause to bless in the Greek. Both of those words are translated bless in our Bible. I find it interesting because that seems to be two ends of the stick to me, or two different things, to kneel and to cause to prosper. But I begin to wonder as I pondered those thoughts this week, is why would it be to kneel and to prosper? And maybe the blessing comes from the position that we are in. Maybe God blesses, but we're not in a position to receive His blessing. So He blesses, but you're out of position. I'm out of position. Does that make sense this morning? Or it made sense to me this week that God, okay, you want to bless, and I believe you're even blessing, but there's positional blessing. It was, where is my position? Can I receive the blessing that God is pouring out on me? Because I want to receive something that would cause me to prosper and not just, listen, we need to get over our bank account prospers. There's much better things to prosper in. There's a lot of rich people that would like to have good health. Okay, there's a lot of other things in our options that God could pour out on us that would prosper us. But I don't want to miss the prosper, what God wants to pour out on me in the form of a blessing because I'm out of position. So I wrestled with that this week. I pondered that this week. I pondered and I wondered, God, what is going on here? But then I read passages like this, and it says this, God causes his sun to rise on evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So there seems to be a blessing just because we're earth dwellers. So there is the position of God's blessing. He pours out, I call it everyday run-of-the-mill blessing. And so he pours out this blessing, and it just comes out onto the earth. The sun comes out onto the earth. The rain comes out onto the earth. These blessings from God, you can't tell me that the sun and the rain doesn't cause one to prosper. Let's try to live where there is no sun and there is no rain. There's no prospering. So that in itself is the definition of blessing. But the position that people are in is just the general everyday blessing that's being poured out on the earth. These blessings are received because we are earth dwellers, because we're part of creation. So the position is right to receive these. It doesn't matter if you're doing what's right or you're doing what's wrong. It doesn't matter. You get rain and you get sunshine. It's not if you're walking with God more diligently than your neighbor, he's got just a blank slate in his garden and you've got sun and rain on your garden. That's not the way it works. God just I bless the earth with this. And in Romans 1, it says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature has been made clear. And it can be clearly seen in what is made. So God has revealed himself through creation. That's a general blessing, I think. Unless you don't live in God's creation, which, just so you know, you do. Unless there's aliens among us, and then I'd like to talk to you after the service. But you live in this place where there's creation. And the everyday blessing comes upon us because we live in God's creation. And not only the rain and the sun, but in his creation, he shows himself. And he reveals himself. He reveals his power and his love and his beauty. How many sunsets have you taken a picture of this year? It's off the charts this year in sunsets, isn't it? What in the world? We'd say, well, there's wars and rumors of wars and all these bad things. Do you know how many sunsets have been amazing this year? Now, I don't keep record of that stuff. I don't have any hash marks from 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 15 years ago of how many beautiful sunsets. I'm telling you, I think we're overloaded on sunsets this year. Now, I get it. The sun sets and the sun doesn't set. The whole rotation. I got that, okay? Work with me here. And I know the sun sets, so to speak, every day. Somebody said, well, the day we just got an extra hour, we lost an hour of the day, and somebody will correct you on Facebook. Well, actually, take your actually and... I want to continue in 23 years, so I won't finish that statement. I get that. But we live in creation, beauty. Look what it says in Job, and we had this verse a few weeks ago, but it's just rocking my world. If it were his intentions or God's intentions, and he withdrew his spirit and breath, all mankind would perish together, and man would return to dust. Instantly, all mankind. That's an everyday blessing that God is among us. That God doesn't withdraw himself and withdraw his spirit from us, because if that happened, we're all dust. Boom! Everybody at the same time, dust. Poof. God is blessing us. It's a general blessing, I think. the everyday blessing. And just because I call them the everyday blessing doesn't mean I'm undervaluing that blessing, because I can't have any other blessing unless I have the everyday blessing. If I'm not here, if I'm dust, beyond that, being blessed seems to be immaterial, because I am dust. And so the everyday blessing, or these powerful blessings that God has given us, and there's just thousands of others we don't even have record of. We don't even know how much God gives us and blesses us. And so I'm not underestimating the value of the everyday blessings, because without them, there would be no other blessings. But my question is this: but is there a deeper blessing that God wants to pour out on us, on you, on me? That's my question for this week. Is there a deeper blessing that God wants to pour out on you? Or is the sun and the rain and not turning to dust and just the beauty of a sunset is all he's got for you? Or does he want to pour more out on you? And if he does, does he want you to be in a position to receive that blessing? And is it my responsibility to be in a position to receive a blessing? Or is God going to empower me to be in the position to receive the blessing? So is there more that God wants to pour out on in our lives? Is there more that he wants to bless us with? Is there more? And then I start to read this Matthew 5, and you know it well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so the word blessed there now is translated as supremely blessed. But there seems to be a position there, right? What's the position? The poor in spirit. It's not just earth dwellers. Am I making sense this morning? It's not just earth dwellers. It's now poor in spirit get extremely, supremely blessed. Blessings on steroids. Supremely blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Because why? Because not only the rain and the sun and not turning to dust and beautiful sunrises, but boom, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Woo! Now that's a blessing. Now granted, I got to have sun, rain, and not turning into dust and creation to receive this, but I get that. But it goes down, and Jesus is saying this. Jesus is teaching this. Jesus is preaching this message to the people on the Mount of Beatitudes. And look at what he says: blessed are those who mourn. Position. Blessed are the meek. It's a position. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They receive a blessing. They receive more than just sunshine and rain and not turning to dust. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Just be careful. I just had a conversation with someone this past week. Well, I'm being persecuted. That's because you're breaking the law. That's not called persecution. That's called breaking the law. Going to jail. Don't have a sign, I'm being persecuted. No, you're going to jail because you broke the law. Blessed are the persecuted, for those who are persecuted because of righteousness or uprightness or walking with God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, this amazing blessing being poured out on us. And this verse that really encapsulated my heart said this in Psalm 111:6. It says this: he has shown his people the power of his works by giving them something they did not work for. My translation, but that's what it means. His people, boom, you've got something you didn't work for. Blessing. How many of us got on our bicycle, stationary bike, and started pedaling so the sun would rise on our house today? See, you don't do that. We would probably freeze to death because, in general, we're probably a bunch of lazy people. We wouldn't be on our bicycles. But it's not something you work for. It's a blessing. But you have to be in the position to receive the blessing. And God says, I want to show my power to my people. I want to show my power to my people? Is it okay if I show my power to you? Is it okay if I show my power to you? Do you want to see my power? Do you want to receive something more than just sunshine and rain? I don't care how old you are. Do you want to receive that? See, there's no age limit, Isaiah. There's just not. He's not waiting for you to get gray beard or white. Gray. He wants to bless us all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter how old you are. Is it okay if he blesses you? Do you want to see the power of God? God wants to demonstrate his power to you. But are you in position? Am I in position to see that power? And to see that blessing and to receive that blessing? I am sure, and you can push the button, I am sure that we are not experiencing the level of blessing that is available. Not because God does not want to bless us, but because we are not in position to receive it. So here we go. I'm entitling this message, just like you will tell your kids when you leave this service, "Will you just get in the car?" So get in the car! And if they don't, you roll down your window, you're going to walk home. So God's in the car, and he said, "Will you just get in the car? You're going to walk home." So here we go. Get in the car. Get in position to receive God's blessing. Romans 12 says this, "Therefore I urge you in view of God's mercy," and in verses, chapters 1 through 11, just unpacks God's mercy in view of everything that God has done, not because of who you are, but because of who he is, and not because you're cool and all that, it's because he loves you. As a matter of fact, you're completely upside down. You're a pile of trash. But in view of God's mercy, he has done something. He has taken you out of that trash, and he has stood you up, and he has brushed you off. He's got more. Listen, New Life, he's got more than just standing you up and brushing you off and one day putting you in heaven. He's got more for you than that. Get in the car. Just get in the car. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer. Offer means this. I was just mesmerized by that. It means stand close. Your body, you know what that means? In the flesh. This body, this flesh can move close to God. Now God said, "I've done everything you need. The car is running. It's all gassed up. The weed is out of the air conditioner. Whatever you need, you got to get in the car." Will you just get in the car? Will you just stand close to me? Will you just come close to me with your body? It means today in the flesh. Living means today in the flesh. Not sure how close you are standing this morning, but you can stand closer. Because that's an ongoing invitation. You might be standing closer than your husband. You might be standing closer than your friend. You might be standing closer than your wife. You might be standing closer than your neighbor. You might be standing closer than your mom or dad. It's not in comparison to someone else. The invitation is for you and for me to stand closer to God. "Will you stand closer to me?" he said. "Stand closer to me. You want to be blessed? This is your spiritual act of worship. This is holy and God-pleasing, worship-filled act. Being in the flesh," listen, I wrote this down, "being in the flesh does not limit our closeness to God. Stand close to God life. You want a blessed life? You need to stand close to God life. You want to be in position to receive the blessing that he wants to pour out on you and out on me, you need to stand close to God. And you know what you need to do tomorrow? You need to stand a little closer. You know what you need to do after that? You need to stand a little closer to God. And you need to stand closer and closer and closer and closer to God. The flesh does not limit your closeness to God. Stand close to God. And verse 2 says this, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to this world. You know what that means? You don't stand so close to the world. It means today in the flesh, are we standing closer to the world or closer to God? See, people, I feel pretty good about being street smart or world-wise, whatever word you want to use. God says, would you lose that badge? Street smart is not going to get you through this world. Standing close to me is. Will you stand close to me? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. You're standing too close to the world. Come on, stand close to me. And then what's happened? And then you will know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what that is? A blessing. God pouring out his power on you. Might scare the hair off your head. Years. I had hair when I started. Nothing to do with you. God! Some think that God is holding out on them. In reality, I'm just not standing close enough to him. Just so you know, let me just say this, and I'll come down and speak it among us. God never holds out on you. God never holds out on you. God's never holding out on you. He's not holding out on you. He wants to bless you. But you need to stand close. And I've used this illustration before, and it seems to make sense to me. I can get into my shower. We have a bathtub shower. You get in the shower and stand clear to the back wall and then whine and complain because I'm not getting wet. That shower's holding out on me. No, you bum. You need to get up toward the water. Stand close to God. A standing close life is a blessed life. Right? A standing close life is a blessed life. And just so you know, God has no bubble. God has no, you're kind of close here. My brother and I, when we talk, I don't know if we're hard of hearing or we're just really comfortable with each other, but we're like this far off our noses. It's like the family will say, don't you like have a bubble? I don't know. I don't even think about it. But you ever see people are like, can you just step back a little bit? You're kind of invading my, stuff here. See, God's not like that. And I'm not for or against that, whatever. But God is not like that. He wants you to come close and close and close and close and close and closer and closer and closer and closer because God wants to bless you. I only have 3 points today, so you know I'm one-third through the message. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Lord, Lord, the one to whom a person belongs. You can push the button. To the one whom the person belongs. The one who has power of deciding. The one, the possessor and disposer of all things, the one who has control of all things. Just so you know, when you get close, that's who you're getting close to. But you just can't get close to that Lord, the one who possesses it all, the one who's in control of all, the one who has the power of deciding, the one to whom you belong. Come close to them. Come close to that person. hear that person. Interact with that person. Interact with Jesus. Spend time with him. Come close to him. But then he has to be the Lord of your life. Hear and respond. A say yes life. We need to say yes life. We need to have a yes, Lord, life. Say yes. When you stand close to God, he is the Lord. Listen to him. And when he says, and he might say, you're amazing. Well, you know, I did this back 14 years ago, and God said, will you just shut up? See, we always think he's going to bark commands at us. He's going to love on you. Does God have an element of drill instructor in him? Absolutely. But he's a God who loves you, and he's going to come in and speak into your life, and he's going to tell you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, and who you are in him, and how amazing you are. Don't disagree with the owner. Say, yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord. You think I'm amazing. I'm going with you, God, because you're way smarter than I am. Will you set apart Christ as Lord? If you're going to say yes, you got to go close to God, and then you got to say yes to him. It says this in Matthew 16. Look at what Peter did. Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. That's not a good thing to do. And he said two words that should never be used together. It's impossible to be used together. Never, Lord. You can't, those two words can't go together. Because once I say never, he's not Lord of my life. He's still the Lord. I'm not dethroning him. I'm not voting him off the island. I'm not snuffing out his candle. Never, Lord, Peter said. This shall not happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and says, you know what? You're standing way too close to the world. And you have become a tool of Satan. You're starting to think like the world thinks, and I can't have you thinking like the world thinks. So stand closer to me so I can speak into you. And when you hear me speak into you, please just say yes. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Yes, Lord, I embrace it. Yes, Lord, I will go, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will do it, Lord. Yes, Lord, a yes, say yes life is a blessed life. What are you struggling with saying yes to God? Who you are? Or what do you want you to do? See, I'm starting to lean toward who you are. Because I think what my mind wants to go when the Lord's going to tell me, march, 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 march. And he does that. But I think I struggle more with hearing from him of who I am. And who he is. That he's a good, good father. And that I am loved by him. That's who I am. Will you stop disagreeing with the Lord and thus moving yourself out of the stand close to God because now I don't agree with the Lord of who I am? God says, come back close. I'm not going to change. You're amazing. I love you. Walk with me. Psalm 34:10 says this, The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Seek. I love the word seek there. It's to tread in place. I'm not leaving. I'll wear the grass right down in front of this, right in front of this throne room of God. I am not. I'm seeking. That means to tread in place, to wear it right down, wear it into the mud. I am not walking somewhere else, God. I'm seeking you, God. I'm seeking you, God. And the word good here, that's no good thing, is just this widest sense of the good. It says good, better, and best, all wrapped in one thing. And he wants to pour that out onto you. Seek him. A seeking life is a blessed life. Are you with me? Stand close. Say yes. Seek more. And then you know what you do after that? Stand close. Say yes. and seek more. Stand close, say yes, and seek more. That's a blessed life. Is God going to bless us? He is in the everyday blessing. But he's going to bless us when we move into position with him. The future is forward. There is no going back to normal. Will we just lose our thinking? Well, I can't wait till things get back to normal. I do not want normal. I want the next steps with God. I am not striving for normal. I am striving for more. 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 Just so you know, I'm still on the more. More. There is more. And I want to bless you with it. I want to give it to you. God bless you. I'm not, when I say that, I don't know if you sneeze or not. And I'm not too sure about plagues and demons and spirits and heartbeats. But this is what I'm saying to you. Push the button. God bless you. A seeking life is a blessed life. Push the button again. Stand close. Say yes. Seek more. Not sure about sneezing, not sure about plagues and demons, spirits and heartbeats, but when I say God bless you, may you be in the position to receive God's supreme power that will cause you to prosper and move forward in your walk with Jesus. Caleb, you're the blessed kid today, right? Stand up. God bless you. May you be in a position to receive God's supreme power that will cause you to prosper and move forward in your walk with Jesus. That's what I mean, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God move you into position, Dolan, that you will see God and he will pour it out on you and he will move you closer to him. He's not waiting until you're 9. He'll do it right now. And you too. I love the question. Silas says, me too? How about you? Are you willing just to say, me too? I love it when kids preach my message. How about a new life? God bless you. Would you stand with me today? May God pour out as we kneel before him, as we stand close to him, as we say yes to him, and as we seek more. May he pour out this amazing provision on you. And may that amazing provision move you closer to him and walking out your faith. Jesus, thank you for this day. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. God, turn us around. You are jealous for us, God. You want us to stand close to you. You want us to tell us who you are, who we are, and what we're going to do together. And you want us to seek more, God. So help us, God. Help us. God bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.